I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Doing the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas. I've realized I've got into a really bad... I think I'm coasting with those intros. I think I got too comfortable, you know?
Yeah.
And I need to push myself back.
You gotta go back into deep music.
Yes,
and you gotta go into deep music.
Deep music. That's what I need. Yeah.
Yeah. Like. Yeah. I think you gotta go into something that is like more music than even just listening.
Yeah.
Like I went to a rave last night, as you know, Andy.
Yeah, I do know that about you.
And my friend who took me there, who's a trance DJ, sent me a bit of that music that he played the night before today. Mm. And it's crazy because I was really enjoying it last night. But then today, it wasn't the same because I didn't feel it thumping in my chest in the same way.
Yeah, of course.
And it's a whole other way to experience music. It's a full body music.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, maybe that's the next thing will be like a thing that you can strap to your chest that just delivers those beats into your sort of... into your heart, like it's sort of you're receiving CPR, but like very mild CPR, but obviously from like a speaker type thing,
and you can like, feel it's like the hand of a giant around your torso, and it squeezes you a bit. I think that'd be great.
A little constriction around the chest.
You've never seen an outfit that is just like the hand of a giant holding you.
It's a really good one for the Met Gala. Should write that
exactly.
down. That's, we can also come up with outfit ideas.
Yes,
just
yes,
because
yes,
we've never done it before. That's always been part of our remit, our outfit remit.
Because think about it, you could have the wrist where the hand is connected to be sliced off, and in one of your hands you're holding a sword. So it looks like
really good. You've chopped off the hand of the giant. Really good.
I mean, it might be the perfect outfit. You know?
Yeah, so it would conceal your modesty, you know, you'd still...
Exactly.
Yeah. Naked underneath or are you wearing clothes underneath? What do you think? Were you grabbed by the giant when you were nude?
Yeah, I mean, I always shower with a sword underneath my pillow just in case of...
You're also famous for taking a pillow into the shower with you.
The shower pillow. And don't think that it's different in any way. It's a cloth pillow. It's a cloth, you know.
Yeah, it's basically a sponge.
That's right. And then I like to sit on it and lay on it. Now, should I write down this outfit idea? I guess
Yeah. I mean, if we ever write a sitcom where somebody goes to the Met Gala, let's put that in there. It would also be a great... let's not rule out the possibility this could be a Halloween outfit for Heidi Klum.
Of course.
If she's listening.
Heidi, if you're out there. Ms. Klum.
Now, if Klum, is that short for clumps, as in...
Yeah, I think so.
Eddie
Murphy, were we reading it right? Was it the Klumps?
It might have been the Klumps. Alistair. Yeah.
There's not a lot of names that you shorten it by taking out one letter.
You know, not many.
Michael. Mike A. Of course, there's Michael and Mike A.
What do you think about spelling pants, like the pants that you wear? How do you feel about spelling that? P-A-N-C-E. How do you feel about that?
P-I-N?
P-A-N-C-E. P-A, the first letter of the alphabet, A, the premier vowel, A.
Yeah.
P-A-N-C-E-E, the second vowel. Pants.
Yeah, pants. Oh, C-E, like that, pants. Mm. So it sort of seems, yeah, pants. Pants-a.
Kind of makes me want to write a whole novel where every word is misspelled in that way, using, you know, alternative...
I think Irvine Welsh did that.
Did he? Did he really?
No, he wrote it. He wrote it in phonetic Scottish accent.
Ah, sure.
But to a certain extent, every word was kind of spelt wrong in that way. But this is more to annoy rather than for the, you know, for the joy.
That's correct. Yes, it's not justifiable. It's not I want to make it clear, this is not a Scottish dialect. This is
What would be really interesting is the film adaptation of your book, where people.
Well, I think they'd have to be creative.
Well, I'm angry with you, EWE.
Maybe all the objects would have to be replaced with homophones, or with other objects that look like them. See, because film is a visual medium. So what you'd need to do, Alistair, is you'd need to replace objects with other objects that look a lot like them in shape. Mm. Or should it be in functionality? Because really, the functionality of a word is its sound. So,
I mean, as, you know, a film where, you know, like, a film version where everything is fucked. Everything is a little bit off.
Write it down. Write it down. Like,
well, I know, but it's not enough of an idea, a film where everything is fucked. They make those, Andy. They're called porn. but where most of the time people, you know, they keep the jokes to, you know, some words, a couple of actions, things like that, but not everything is messed up. But like, do you think you would need a reason for everything to be messed up? Or do you think it's just, everything just happens to be messed up? Or you discover along the way that things are messed up? Because is there one person who's realizing that things are messed up? Or is it just that nothing works?
Yeah, I mean, I think if there's one person who's realizing that things are messed up, and by the way, I realize we're using a very general term here for how things are messed up. But
are you picturing like almost tables is where... Like,
you know, exactly, where the legs are all floppy or something.
Yeah, or
right?
the legs are
all bendy, and they sort of wobble down onto the ground.
Or the legs.
This is almost an
length.
Invasion of the body snatchers, but it's more of an invasion of the item snatchers, right? And objects are being replaced now by aliens, but nobody else is noticing. And this person is trying to tell them tables aren't supposed to have wobbly, like floppy legs. But everyone's like, they're always like that, and they're treating them like they're crazy. I think this is a really good idea. Yeah,
well, they're conservatives. They're conservatives who want to keep things the way they were. But really all that means for them is they don't want to change the way things currently are, even though they were just recently changed.
Well, but maybe there's some effect that the aliens are having where people now don't notice this. But I think it would be very funny to see, you know, maybe they're just making lots of things floppy, you know, like knives and forks, and you know, you've got people there at the table trying to eat with these floppy knives and forks and acting like it's fine, like it's normal, like it's supposed to be like that, right? It's a great metaphor for something.
Yeah,
I can't wait to find out what it's a metaphor for. It's gonna
I would rather not know what it is a metaphor for.
Indeed could be something to do with bureaucracy or the police state, but I'm not gonna look into it beyond that.
Just to
put that out there, those are possibilities.
No, I think because you've said that, they can't be that, no.
Okay. That's
I don't
all we know that
know.
It isn't.
So, no, because if you say that it is and I don't want to know it, then now it can't be that.
Yeah, really good. I mean, there'd be a great scene where the alien spaceship is hovering, like, not far up above the ground, and our hero is trying to get there to defeat them. And they're trying to climb up a tree to get to the thing, but of course the tree's gone all floppy.
That's right. And people, but people always do that thing where it's like, you know, you're like, wait, there's a, you know, like, I don't know if you recognize this kind of thing, but you go, oh, look, there's a weird thing going on there. And people are like, well, that's been like that for ages.
Mm.
And you go, like, you know that they're like, well, not in any meaningful way that is true. But I get what you're saying. Like, you may have saw it earlier today or something like that, and I hadn't seen it yet.
Mm.
But like, it's that thing where people kind of do like a small lie to make themselves look better and to win an argument that isn't important to win.
Mm-hmm. Is this about me, Alistair?
No,
not
at all.
Sure, I've done that to you.
No.
It sounds like you're describing me exactly.
No, Andy, I'm not.
No, okay.
I would I've actually never said anything like that. But honestly, though, Andy, if a spaceship did come down, and the aliens came out and they said, Andy, would you come and have a look on our spaceship? They land on your compound.
Yep.
Okay. Big metal thing, door open. You don't have to go up any stairs. It's like it's all accessible.
Nice. It's a ramp. Beautiful ramp. You do notice that there's a lot of the aliens. A lot of them do have ramps, which is very nice that they have that that accessibility built in.
And they have those beams that bring you up, so you don't even have to use your legs at all.
Oh man, that really is super duper advanced accessibility. They are better than us. They truly have.
And
got
I wonder
it all
if
figured
they,
out.
They ever used the beam horizontally. So that you can
move things
can
across.
Speed you up. Yeah, speed you up as you're walking. So you could still walk, but it kind of like adds to your velocity. Like
that'd be a great question. I could ask them that when I get on the ship.
That's right.
I'll try and keep track of these things.
So, but in all honesty, would you go on there? Okay, let's say nobody's at home at the moment.
Okay.
They ask you, okay,
interesting.
It's just you.
Yeah.
Would you get on?
Yeah. And they seem nice.
Yeah. They seem nice.
Or do they just seem inscrutable in their way?
You see them tickle each other and laugh. That's all you know.
Oh, wow. I mean, that
looks
sound
playful.
Nice. But I mean, it might be something different, you know, tickling and laughing.
I know, but they're
speaking English.
In their
culture, that might like stabbing and screaming.
But they are speaking English, you know?
They are speaking English, or at least I think they're speaking English. They might be speaking their language, and the words might mean something completely different. You
but
know,
they say, "Andy, so would you like
come
to come
on my
ship?"
Spaceship might mean go away.
But then, okay, let's say you get on the spaceship, and then they said, "Can we tickle you?" Would you let them? I think that you would get into serious Andy a little bit at that point. And you say, oh, no, just for the moment, I think that I would rather not. We're just getting to know each other.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean,
and then what if then they got really serious?
Oh, they're not happy about me not letting them tickle me. Yeah.
Would
I mean,
you
maybe
offer
I'd
to tickle
ask,
them?
Can I tickle? Yeah, can I tickle you first?
Imagine that. And then you do.
And then they get more angry.
No, but imagine the first thing that happened, they go, yes, we would love that. And then the first thing you do is you try to tickle them and your finger goes right through their skin.
Oh,
and you like
no.
pierce their side.
I've killed one of them.
Well, I don't know, but he's very injured.
So you've seen me tickle before then, Alistair.
You've seen me tickle before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, my fear is that it would turn out to be a trick, right? I'd let them tickle me, right? And then they'd tickle me and they'd say, thank you very much, bye. And they'd go and get into their spaceship and they'd close the thing and they're going to leave. But then I see something that makes me go, wait a second, that's not really an alien. That's just a guy in a truck, right? And I've just been taken advantage of in some way.
You get tagged in a video.
Yes.
On social media. Yeah. But then
what do you think of those videos on social media where they have that thing where somebody's in a dinosaur costume, a T-Rex costume or something, and people are coming around a corner and then the T-Rex costume the T-Rex emerges and like fucking terrifies some people in real life who start running away? How do you feel about that?
You know what? The thing is that my secret joy is videos of people getting scared.
Yeah, really? Okay.
But I like it when they know that they're safe straight away.
Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, this is a lot like that time that you approached me in the dark with that scary old man face on.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the experience that I went through. And I have recovered. I'd say I've recovered. I was thinking, when I asked this question, I was thinking that I reckon those people have got long-term trauma as a result of this. But now that I reflect on my own experience of that, it's given way to no long-term consequences and having a fun story. And maybe it even brought us closer together in a way.
I think so, yeah. I think that it was an act of generosity on my part. But in that case, you knew straight away that it was me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these people who get scared for a moment. Now, I'm never 100% sure that the ones that where there's a T-Rex or something like that, that people, you know, that it's real entirely. Because it feels like it's not a safe thing to do in public. And where you're going to end up getting sued or something like that because somebody fell and hit their head or something. But
I don't know that most pranksters are thinking about that.
Yeah. But the one where you get scared like that, it's like what's fun is that there's just a split second where you, before you realize that it's me, where you are terrified. Mm. And things must go through your mind for a second. Right? You know, whole scenarios of I'm about to die and there's an intruder in my home and things like that, which is immediately replaced by I know who that is.
Right? Yeah. But actually, I've had no long-term consequences of that. But now that I think about it, that is a thing that I now think about a lot, the possibility of looking up and seeing somebody in my home. And I don't think I ever thought about it before that happened.
See, so I'm sorry. So it is an actual trauma. So I was generous, just not in a positive way.
You were very giving with your long-term traumatic consequences.
Yeah.
Yes, I
now, see. But is there? But you see, as but what you can see from this is that there is a learning that occurs here. You remember and think about it all the time.
Mm.
So is there a way that you could use that to, say, learn lines for a first scene?
Oh, pretty good. I mean, it would be good to, like, get things imprinted on that very deep emotional and psychological level, you know, because you that's where you want things to be if you're going to be able to recall them at a moment's notice. Could it be an educational technique for schools? Or maybe just for corporate events.
I mean, if you made, you know, either the script or a textbook and you made it sort of, say, 20 feet high.
Yes.
Right? And so as the letters, as the book opened up to the page you're trying to memorize is falling onto you, and it will hurt you a tremendous amount, right? Potentially.
Yeah.
I think that your mind will take in that information really well and, you know, and it'll probably stick.
There you go. I was attacked by a 200-foot-tall Times Tables poster and it's all burned in there now. I can do maths so much better. I think a horror-based corporate retreat is a good concept for a film, right?
Yeah.
So there's a corporate retreat that you go to and you think it's just a normal, like, I don't know, like paintballing or something like that. But then it descends into unimaginable horror and people are being stalked and picked off and killed. But then it's revealed that it's all just a way of bringing the team closer together to achieve better marketing outcomes or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they are bonded through that experience. You look at how people come, how close they are when they've been, you know, through a really horrible thing like that. And you're like, oh, maybe we could tap into that for greater, you know, return on investment and office productivity.
But there's two people in the group who, you know, one clearly like abandoned the other person or pushed them in front of the killer.
Yeah,
the
really killer good. Running at them.
Well, we're all closer together. And then those two people meet eyes for a second.
Sure. I mean,
No, but I
maybe
love that.
Maybe they've even
I think...
thrown somebody to their death in a literal sense.
Yeah.
But let's write that down as an idea.
Yeah, yeah. No. Retreat, right? Mm-hmm. Horror-based
retreat,
team.
Retreat is a good retreat. Name for the film.
That's retreat. Right.
Because, of course, what does it also mean? It means run away.
To run away.
To flee. Trick or retreat. How about that? How do you feel about that?
I love that.
Oh, it's really good, isn't it?
It's really good.
We'd all go see that film. Or what about Get Away? Get Away, that's another good one.
What about this one, Andy? This retreat is a trick.
Really good.
Or what about this? This retreat is actually a horror thing for team building.
Yes. Alistair.
Imagine having such a poor thought through sentence for the title. Like you're going bold enough to have a sentence as a title. But you go, this retreat is actually a horror thing for team building.
It's got a full stop on the end. It's got a comma in it. You don't see many with a comma titles with a comma in it. A full stop, maybe even two sentences. Here we go.
Now I saw the movie.
The title is a paragraph.
This horror, this retreat is a horror thing for team building. And, you know, there's actually quite an interesting twist in this movie. I won't tell you what it is. But a bunch
that, by the way, that's all still part of the title.
A bunch of people, a bunch of people go on sort of a work retreat. And it's not quite what they bargained for. They don't quite get what they bargained for, except for the boss who...
Because they
the
haven't read the title of the film.
That's right. Mm. Well, I guess every film is like The Matrix. You know,
It would be a good... maybe that's part of the retreat, is that you band up together and you ritually murder and kill the boss. It's not real. You think it's real. You think you're burning him to get death in a pyre or something. Mm. But he's not actually. He slips out the bottom of the pyre. But somehow, something about that process of killing the boss is... Maybe it's to ease the transition. Maybe if the boss has been promoted to a higher level and you're getting a new boss coming in, maybe this is like on some visceral primal level, we as humans... We biologically don't understand the concept of vertical promotion, right? We don't understand. The body doesn't, in a hormonal sense, we never evolved to understand our leader getting promoted to the vice president in charge of strategy in the Southeast Asian division. We can't understand that on a body level. What we do understand is tearing his flesh off his body and throwing him into a fire, right? So we need to go through that in order to fully accept this concept.
That he is leaving.
He's leaving, yes.
Yeah. Oh, the trauma of having a manager leave. Oh, the difficulty of having a person that tells you what to do being far away from you.
Yes.
No longer able to control you.
We should contact M. Night Shyamalan. I don't want to be the person who can't pronounce that surname. Shyamalan?
It's so interesting that you would say that, because I really want to be the person. See, because I'm able to pronounce it. But I wish I could
Am I
be
wrong?
The person who can't pronounce it. Hey? I have no idea, Andy. But... But I wish, I mean, you know, I've always heard it as Shyamalan, but, you know, it's probably not that, but it doesn't matter. It's not out in the public enough. I can't currently, just in my current life state, go and look up every person's name and ensure that I'm getting it completely right.
There should be a place where you can go and safely mispronounce people's names.
Like a room, a mispronouncing room.
Maybe a mispronouncing room, you know? Oh, like, maybe you know, you've got a very diverse workplace here, okay? Yeah. We have colorblind hiring policy, and
we've got a little mosque.
We've got a mosque in here. There you go. And the way that we make it work, everybody gets along great, but the way that we make it work is we have a special room that people can go in. Whenever we introduce a new employee, right, we have a special room that people can go in and mispronounce their name as much as they like.
Yeah.
And it's a safe space for that purpose.
Yeah. And I mean, imagine like not just names, but just words. And they go, look, we got lots of things. You could go in there. And look, we got lots of things. We got this, you know, we've got a room for, you know, we've got a sauna here. We've got a prayer room.
Yes.
And next to that, we got the mispronouncing room where you can just mispronounce words as much as you want in there to your heart's content. And then you miss picture and you see a guy praying from like, you know, having a real moment to himself, getting, you know, being alone with God for a moment. And in the next room, you can hear him saying, like,
isn't it interesting that, like, that when it comes to, I think putting it next to a prayer room is a great creative choice that you've made there, Alistair, because, you know, part of the way that we can be more accepting is by, yes, allowing those facilities for people who hold those beliefs dear to them, and that's an important part of their identity. But then there will be some retrograde characters in the, you know, maybe in the white Australian population who are similarly reluctant to let go of being annoyed at having to learn to pronounce new names. So they have a space that they can go in to do that. And that's how this workplace gets along.
Yeah.
And everybody does really get along, but then you don't want to hear what they say in that room. You don't want to hear.
I think it'd be funny if there was like a person whose job was in the office to be like a big brother type person.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you did want to learn some of the names of the people.
Mm.
You know, and this is the guy, his job is to just know how people's names are pronounced.
Yep.
And you don't see him. He just goes, so if you go in there and you go, you know, Shyamalan. He goes, Shyamalan. Like that. And he goes, Shyamalan. And Shyamalan goes,
what is it again?
Shyamalan. Shyamalan. And then, Shimlon.
Now, is it also a room where you can go and misuse people's pronouns, or are we not interested in that as a concept?
Do we
find that deeply offensive? Probably.
Do you think that this joke is offensive, right? Because you know that I'm all for
it. I don't think it was until I said what I just said then, because I think you are coming to it in a very positive spirit of people wanting to do the right thing. I'm probably coming at it more from these are probably fundamentally broken people
who are
refusing to be...
I know, but I was trying to find, like, I don't think that you were, like, I think in the end, those people would just end up, the ones you were discussing, would then end up not really using the name. They would just say, hi, mate, you know, and things like that in the office.
Mm.
And then, you know, the difficulty of not being able to say somebody's name just because they can't do it. And because they, in a way, can't be fucked. They could just go into the room and just go, shum, shim, sham, shum. And I... Sham Sham, like that.
Is Greg Larson playing this character?
Sham Sham. I don't know. You know?
Great.
I think that's fun. I don't know. Look, I don't know if this is a joke, and I don't know if it's funny. But I feel like it has a chance of being offensive. And it might also be something that's been done a lot. But because, you know, I support any kind of like gender stuff, trans stuff, blah blah blah, right? the one thing is like I've had trouble with is relinquishing, you know, a word that's been very important to me, guys.
Guys,
totally. You know, because it's a gendered language, even for, you know, for groups of people, and so because, you know, it's, we're using it on people who might not necessarily be men, and so that kind of thing. But
I see, this is why where I can spring to your defense, Alistair, because I've heard you refer to your beloved wife as man.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
I've seen you say that to her. I think you genuinely.
Sure, I wasn't saying
don't
ma'am.
See. No, I don't think it was ma'am.
And here's where the possible joke part was. Because I know that it originally was a male name.
Mm.
But could we possibly, with our new age thinking, possibly think that this word now is maybe non-binary?
Yeah. You know, it's very possible.
Has sort of shifted itself. Can we verbally transition a word?
Yeah. I don't see why not. Yeah. Does the word guys have pronouns?
Yeah.
I tell you what I do is I use guys for everybody, but I'm actually not using G-U-I-S. I'm using G-U-I-S-E. The word guys, meaning the performance that we all put on at all times. I'm acknowledging that all manifestations of gender and all types of identity are themselves a construct that we individually project.
That's right. Even because you're coming at it from a Buddhist point of view where it's like that's self right. actually is nobody. And it's just a construction of narratives that we tell ourselves in order to give ourselves an identity.
Yeah, yeah.
You know that thing that we all done purposefully. We should let go of it because it's not useful in any way.
Yes.
I should go into every moment, no idea who I am, what I do. Hi. You know, shaking somebody's hand. Hi, Mike. How are you? Yeah. Hey, how are you? You know what? I don't know who I am. And I couldn't tell you my name, and I've got no idea what I do because I'm not that. I'm not my body and my lived experience.
It would be great to have a machine that can completely strip away the self. Like, I think
to do some kind of factory reset.
No. But I'm talking about like a factory reset on the brain, like when you do the same thing to your iPhone. You should have the option to blanket switch it off and start again. Just from factory settings, not as a baby, but like people in movies about amnesia do.
Well, I
think in the future that might be something we can get.
Now I'm just getting like a recall that maybe this has been said once because I feel like I'm going to go into a story, an experience that. But I did know a guy who got struck by lightning who apparently at like 16 lost all his memories when he got struck, and had to start again.
I haven't heard you say that, I don't think.
No.
And although maybe you did tell me it before the lightning strike, I can't remember.
I mean, lightning has been striking around you at some point. Yeah.
Yes.
But so I think that there is a way, Andy. All it takes is a bolt, a thunderbolt. And I want you to know that it was a thunderbolt. It wasn't like lightning. It was a bright flash. Of loud sound. That came down in a bolt.
Thunderclap. Sounds like a bad STD.
Do you think that would be, it would like burst your eardrums if you were going through the cloud when that went off?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, I think it doesn't mostly happen in the cloud, does it? Like, it sort of happens all the way down the length of that lightning, right? It happens all the way. It's not localized in one spot, the sound. It comes from the full length of that bolt of lightning.
Right.
Because what it is, I think, is the superheating of the air as the electricity passes through it, causing expansion and then contraction as the pressure of the air comes back, and that's what makes the sound.
Yeah,
but
right.
That happens all the way down as the electricity
all the
travels
way down.
Through the atmosphere.
No, I haven't written anything down for a little bit. What should I... Factory reset, do you want this?
Yes, I do want factory reset. Yes.
I mean, it doesn't have to be lightning bolt, but you could offer options. You know, sharp... I mean, this is essentially a...
Do you think this could be a spotless mind. Eternal sunshine. Yeah, it is. Eternal sunshine. But what... Do you think you could offer this as a...
But not through
alternative lightning bolt? People to get capital punishment? To have your entire self erased, you know?
I mean, it's almost better, isn't it, than killing somebody?
Kind of.
But it's cruel, probably. Is it cruel?
Because the body hasn't done anything wrong.
Well, I guess if you're killing them, it's like the fact that if you were going to give them the electric chair, you just gave them the electric bolt like that. It's probably similar. Mm. But if you could just... I mean, the more I'm pushing for this. But I guess if you were going to kill them anyway, wiping their memory does feel like it gives the body a chance to have a new life.
Mm.
But then you would have to probably study them in a kind of unethical way to find out whether or not they're going to do the same awful things that they did. Maybe even more awful things.
Yeah. But, you know, maybe this is the horror film. Again, another horror film in which this happens. The person... it's a new thing. They're erasing people's selves and sending them back out into the world, right? And then maybe something happens where we think that they are actually very sinister, but then it turns out that, in fact, one of the family members of one of their victims is now pursuing them to finish the job because they don't believe in this new form of justice. Mm. So actually they're the hunted, but then maybe still an extra twist where the psychopath still lurks within.
Like the long kiss goodnight.
Mm.
It'd be in the same universe called the long kiss good morning.
Could be.
The short peck good morning. Because it's a new awakening, you know. For him, it's actually finding out, being discovered. I mean, I guess that would be really awful, finding out that you were a horrible criminal about to die. It would be a great reveal for a thing, you know, that you were going to get killed and then they just wiped your memory.
Mm. That would be a great reveal, but unfortunately, yeah. I don't think you'd be able to appreciate it.
Why not?
Well, because you had your brain erased. But you're talking about for the viewer of the film.
But I suppose this person would have developed a new sort of personality, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, while you were talking before, I also wrote down another idea, which is called capital corporal punishment. Right? And it's where they're like, well, you've killed six people. we sentence
gonna
you
to... spank
to
you to death.
Death by spanking.
Wow, yeah.
And but then that's when the executor guy, not the executor, the executioner. Executioner. He's really working for his money.
Do you think it's a bare hand?
Hey.
On the buttocks?
It's a bare hand, but just skin on skin, hand to butt.
You'd have to have a range. You'd have to work in shifts, I think.
Yeah. But it's like that, you know, almost like that Flanders thing where he was just spanked for, you know, a week or a month or something like that. You know, and then but this guy, it's past, you know, repressing all your badness to then suddenly becoming... That's got to be some of the best character development for a character that they had in that spanking episode. That Flanders actually had been a very, very awful kid who had been raised by beatniks. Ah, man, we tried nothing and I'm all out of ideas, man. Something like that.
Yeah. I don't remember that episode, but this sounds very funny. Yeah. I mean, we tried nothing and I'm all out of ideas. I remember that line, but I don't associate it with
it. It might be the one where they have to build him a new house because he freaks out after everything kind of
Everything's repressed. Yeah.
Yeah. Ding, dang, doodly, ding, dang, ding, la, ding, dang, ding, la, ding, la, ding, la, ding, la, ding, la. Then he starts to do a bit of that.
That is a good episode.
Mm. Yeah. And then one of my favorite jokes, which I realized I was trying to write something very similar. They go, you know, he's walking through the house when the community has built it. And they're like, now, none of the rooms have electricity, except for this one. But it has too much electricity.
Now, yeah, that's also the one with the load-bearing poster, which I might have mentioned this already. That poster is load-bearing. They just used that joke exactly on Abbott Elementary, a sitcom. I was like, yeah, I don't think you can just I know Simpsons already did everything, but you can't just use the word-for-word joke.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Load-bearing poster, Alistair. I think that might be one of my favorite jokes because, of course, it's under tension. Posters are only strong under tension. It's impossible for something to be load-bearing under tension. Ah, or is it?
We could do it with rope. We could do it with rope.
We can do it with rope.
Or string or twine.
Mm.
But then it can probably bear a load, can't it, by even through pulling. Like if you dangle a suspension bridge, those things are probably under a load. It's just going...
No, that's true. Yes.
God. But that poster, you're right. That's funny still.
That's still funny. Gosh, The Simpsons. Good show. Alistair, how many sketch ideas have we written down?
Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Sure. I'm happy that we got to 5. Once you got to 8, I was like, oh, some of these are not going to be good, are they?
Andy,
that's okay. Let's go to 3 words from a listener.
Oh, my God, Andy. Well, today we have got 3 words from a listener.
Mm.
And that listener today is Emily Aubrey.
Emily Aubrey.
EmilyYWBYRY. So, now based on that description of Emily,
yes,
would you like to try to guess the words? Mm.
Okay, the first word is first.
Wait, before you guess, think carefully. Okay.
Oh, okay. The first word is third. Oh, I reckon she's fucking with me.
Andy, the first word is your.
Your.
Yeah, Y-O.
Second word is right. Second word is right.
Oh, that's kind of close because it's got only like one or two letters less than it. Second word is last.
Your last.
Don't say the wrong. Don't say the wrong word, Andy.
Your last. And don't you say?
Don't you?
Don't
you dare
guess?
Say
that's
the
what
wrong
I'm
word.
Instinct. My instinct's your last guess.
I want you to know
I
that I accidentally just said the word a second ago.
Did you? Is it instinct?
No, it's day.
Oh.
I was trying to say, don't you dare, and I said, don't you day. Don't you day.
That's how shallow the consciousness is, right? Mm. What we think we have all this processing going on between what comes in and what goes out, but your consciousness can be completely bypassed and the word could just go in and straight out again.
That's right. Yeah, I just have one. I'm only holding one word in the bank in my RAM, and I can't even keep it in there. It just slips out in the flow of, in the current of words coming out.
What about, did people already make this joke when everyone was worried about the end of the Mayan calendar? Right? Mm. The fact that we have calendars and they end every year and nobody says that's the end of the world. People already make that joke? I'm sure they did.
I'm not sure,
But, I mean, how would you feel if you went and you bought a calendar, right? And it went up to July 17th. And then after that, there's just no more days. It's just all blank, right? They just stop there.
That would be fun.
Yeah, you're flicking through it and there's nothing else in there.
Well, I mean, the calendar for somebody who's been given a certain amount of time to live.
Yes, it's maybe like, you could get a cheaper one, right? Doesn't crazy make sense to pay paying. For the whole year. It's like people who are in trouble say, oh, I wouldn't take it. What is it? I wouldn't borrow any big library books or something like that. Is that what people say?
I wouldn't buy any
full year calendars.
I wouldn't buy a jumbo toilet roll. You know, one of those ones that's three rolls in one.
Yeah, right. This Can is you a just buy this by the sheet? I think this is a funny character. They don't have long to live.
Yeah, and there's a doctor trying to find
a way to save money on it.
Let's just say, don't. I'm trying to help you here. I wouldn't buy a winter coat.
Baguettes.
Yeah. Ooh.
I wouldn't buy any footlong baguettes. Let me just put it that way.
Let's just say I wouldn't buy a jumbo pack of tea bags from Costco.
Mm-hmm. I mean, but I also think there's another version of this in which the person themselves with the bad prognosis is trying to save money by going to the supermarket and saying they don't want to buy the whole roll of toilet paper. Can they just buy half a roll or something like that? Don't want to pay for the whole thing. Seems crazy, but you're making me pay for the whole thing. Yeah.
Well,
I'm going to be dead soon.
Well, you see, I'm participating in voluntary euthanasia, sort of tomorrow now. It just seems crazy for me to, but I've got to go to the toilet now. Now, it seems crazy for me to buy the whole roll of toilet paper.
Yes.
Can I just take, say, 30 squares? How much for 30 squares? Just name your price, and then you get that a big wad of cash.
Yeah, really
sticks good. Their tongue out a little bit. Come on, name your price.
And then they're ripping off squares one by one.
Yeah,
handing them to them in a pile.
Also, I think the doctor who thinks that the person, let's say the nurse comes in and tells them, whispers in his ear how long this person has to live, and they say it's a very short time. It's like 3 days or something like that. And then he starts with the baguettes. You know, he starts with the baguettes. He starts with a few things like that. And then she comes in. She goes, sorry, this person actually is completely fine. They have a very long amount of time to live, which is, maybe 30 years. And then he starts trying to
reverse it,
but to say much longer things. You know, I wouldn't get a 50-year loan now.
Let's just say wouldn't buy a baguette that stretches from the earth to the moon and back again.
Mm-hmm. Let's just say I wouldn't invest in sort of a
short-term
brand new wood
bombs.
Forest where you plant saplings now and cultivate them in sort of 40 to 50 years.
Good.
Let's just say I wouldn't get a sea turtle as a pet.
Let's just say...
If you want to see it die, if you want to watch it die.
If you were hoping to watch this leatherback turtle die of old age, let's just say, if you're hoping to watch a pet die of old age, I wouldn't be buying any Galapagos tortoises.
Not at this stage.
Mm-hmm. And let's just say I wouldn't watch the new Christopher Nolan film. That's a joke about him making very, very long films, you see. This person is going to be living a very long time, but still not long enough to complete watching Oppenheimer.
Is dying soon. Sorry, I'm reading.
Is dying soon.
Person who is dying soon. Oh, no. Dying soon. Andy, do you want to fill?
I was thinking about the Pagliacci joke. Yeah. I don't have much to say about it, but I'm always on the lookout for a new twist on that. And I was thinking, is there one about it's a doctor going to see a clown? I haven't worked out what it is yet. But there's a doctor. The doctor goes to have a one-on-one consultation with a clown. I mean, that is already, maybe a concept one-on-one clown situation.
Situations in come into my office kind of clown situations. Mm. Yeah.
So it's just you there as a solitary. Like, could do you think you could laugh? Do you think anyone could laugh under those circumstances?
Yeah.
With just them and a clown.
I mean, you know, my kid blows a raspberry on my tummy and I really giggle.
Mm.
So I think that if a clown one-on-one did that to me, I think I would probably laugh a lot. Because I guess if it's a clown, you kind of expect him to kind of break some rules.
Mm. And that's one.
You know?
That's one of the rules.
Like, if you... Would you... Let's say you were like a bored millionaire. Maybe even... Mm. 2 millionaires, right?
Yeah, you're 2 millionaires. Wow.
No, you've got 2 million.
Oh, okay.
And you're really bored. You've run out of things that you could spend money on with your 2 million.
You've you've already hunted the most dangerous game, Electric Monopoly.
Electric Monopoly?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Anyway, so then you're like looking for an experience. And I think that if you were one-on-one with a clown, my feeling is that the rules that they would break is that you would probably they'd probably touch you in places where they're not supposed to.
Mm.
But I think that that's a form, like if you were paying to do it knowing that it's probably going to be that.
Yeah.
Then it's kind of like you're going, okay, I'm willing to try this. because you're like, I want somebody to cheekily try to tickle me in a weird way.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, if you are, if you are very sick, you might be willing to try unproven alternative therapies. Maybe if you're sad,
really bored, yeah, sad,
really
or bored.
Bored or sad,
yeah,
or depressed, you'd be willing to try some alternative comedy.
It feels like it's for someone searching for a cure for an existential sadness.
Mm.
They need an experience that almost, you know, makes them feel like they can experience a joy great enough that they could. You know, have a reason to continue.
Well, they're at a huge joy deficit.
They're sitting on their big pile of $2 million.
That's your favorite bit of this whole sketch analysis. I think it is mine too.
Yeah.
I think a character, we should have a sketch character who's a guy with $2 million.
Mm. And he acts like a real big shot.
Yeah, but he's always just like keeping a little extra eye on things.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he goes home to his $2 million. He might even have it in a hot tub.
Well, like, I mean, the thing is, tub. If he has $2 million, that can buy him like a pretty bad house in Sydney.
Yeah. Imagine if he did keep it in the spa. Let's say he has a spa in his bathroom,
okay.
Right? And he just kept all the cash piled in there because he loves to go and sit on it and stuff like that. But somebody comes over and they turn on the tap and he's like, "Now you're getting the money, wait." I don't want that. And it doesn't matter because it's plastic, but it would feel weird to have your money be all wet.
In Australia, our money is plastic, by the way. What's the money made of in Canada?
I'm pretty sure that they get them made in Australia.
Really?
Because it's the exact same technology. It's the same nuts.
Polymer.
Yeah. They probably could have just sold the technology to Canada, but it's the same ones, and I'm pretty sure Australia came up with that tech.
Yes.
Andy, I think we're going to have to wrap this up. Emily, I hope these bits about people dying are okay.
I mean, they did say your last day. I think
that's true. You know. That's true. I forgot.
Unless Andy, it was a threat.
Oh, it could have been a Patreon delivered threat.
Mm.
Andy, would you like me to take you to?
Yes, take me. Let's to get the Matthews
take Bridge. You to this. Do take it. You to this. And you know what? I wrote the word outfit, but I wrote it out I fit. So it looks like it says Audi fit. Anyway, Audi fit idea. A giant's hand, and you're holding a sword. You know, that's the perfect outfit. We've got every object is fucked, but conservatives act like it's fine. It doesn't have to be conservatives, but you know what I mean. I mean, I'm finding just a group of people who are defending it and saying that it's been always, now we're so sick of people changing things. Well, it was just changed. They try to like ignore that was the case.
Yeah, even the all the structures of capitalism, we act like they've been around forever, but they really haven't.
No, yeah,
they're really new. It's crazy.
There was a thing where Zizek talked about that, where he's like, he was always like, we can picture the end of the world, you know, and he was talking about all those disaster movies at the time, but there's no way that we can picture an end to capitalism. We can't see a way in which we could get out of it.
Yeah. Wow, that's good.
We've got actor learns lines for a scene by using trauma. That's a kind of a service that people offer. We got horror-based team-building retreat. I think that's a really good one, Andy. I think that's a good alternative to the to that deadline one that we're thinking about.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Because I think it's just slightly... Just because the word deadline was used so much, it made me think that this was... Anyway. Then we got mispronouncing room in the office, where you can go and just mispronounce some words, and you can get away from all the, you know, all the pedants, and you can get away from all the people with...
judging ears.
The judging ears who judge you for failing to... You know, whatever. It's not my problem. But then we got lightning bolt factory reset. And this can also be a company that offers this system. Maybe they put you between, in the two parts, between like one of those Tesla, you know, one of those Tesla machines that do the big shock of electricity between the...
Tesla coil. Yes.
They do it in there. They just put your head, but they never know exactly where the bolt's going to go. But we go, if we just keep your head here for long enough, imagine that as there's like... those bolts that happen around you, and then eventually one's going to get you.
It's like Total Recall, but this is total lack of recall.
That's really good, Andy. That's a really good name. Almost. you could put that as the title of this episode.
Okay, I will.
Then we've got capital corporal punishment. That's where the guy gets spanked to death. Then we got capital punishment, where you wipe their mind, but it's also a horror film, which I also think is a great horror film idea, or at least a psychological thriller.
Yes.
Oh, I wonder. I've never seen Shutter Island. I know that's supposed to have some reveal. I should watch that.
I've read the Wikipedia page, if you ever want me to summarize it for you.
Okay, well, just tell me, was it this idea that we just had?
No.
Great. Don't tell me anymore. Doctor who says I wouldn't buy any blank to someone who is dying, and then later on has to get corrected, and then has to say, I probably would buy a puppy if you want to see it die.
I think also you could see in a medical school where they're teaching bedside manner, and they specifically teach the I wouldn't buy any X. Mm. technique for breaking bad news to people.
Yeah. I think also a part of bedside manner where they're like, now there's the crucial part of being a doctor where you tell people that they'll never walk again.
That's obviously the best bit. The most fun that's bit. The, we all the... can't wait to do it.
Well, you can't wait to get your lips around that. Now, the problem is a lot of people do end up walking again, and they make you look like an idiot. You know, I think...
I think that would be funny to see a doctor really stewing over that. Yeah. He told a patient they'd never walk again, and then the patient starts walking again, and the doctor's really like feeling super humiliated. They're really angry and bitter about it.
Yeah.
I've been made to look like a fucking fool. Look at that guy.
Hey, no, you can't. And you just... One day you're getting out of the car.
He mows you down.
And you just see him standing there. He's holding a bat.
And yeah, you're,
oh, Dr. Jenkins.
I told you.
Dude, you'd never walk again.
You make me a liar? You want to make a liar of
you
me?
You
think
walk?
You know better than me?
You want to walk?
I saw those headlines. You proved... Oh, that's good. I saw all those headlines that said you proved the doctors wrong. My wife read those headlines. She can't look me in the eye. My kids don't respect me. I ask them to go to bed. They say, hey, you were wrong about that guy not walking again.
So it's probably not time for bed. It's probably time to get up. I'm going to go to school now. That's what they tell me at 9 p.m. at night. I'm going to go to school. And then they go to school. I mean, they don't really, but they walk out the door and they make these sort of... You can hear them stepping out there and laughing to each other. And then I could see... And then it seems they've... It's very cold where I live, and they've got like a... They said they think they've got a secret stash of sort of Magnum Egos out there or something like that. They keep it in the snow, because then when I open the door, they're all eating Magnum Egos. I said, where do you get those?
I love how you've only been in Montreal a few weeks, but already you're building snow into your bits, Alistair.
Oh,
you're
really, all my bits involve, really involve very intense seasons.
Deep
now.
Drifts of snow.
Yeah. Deep drifts.
I think also somebody who's told they'll never walk again, but it turns out it's because they have some sort of sprinting syndrome. And now they can only sprint, even where they're going very short distances. Like even around the house, from the fridge to the sink, the kitchen's bench, they really run top speed.
You got sprint syndrome. Sprint zone. There. Okay, that's good, Andy. These are good. And then, we got a couple more. We already said that. Then we got person who's dying soon, trying to not buy a whole roll of toilet paper or something like that. And Dr. Bedside Manner lesson, telling them they'll never walk again in anger at someone who did.
I think also being able to buy toilet paper in single shit packets. Like, if you know, you buy...
Because then you just put like a two shits, let's say, in your pocket, just in case.
Exactly.
Exactly. And you go out, and then that's how this is how like the government will stop like furnishing toilets, you know, public toilets with stuff. They'll just,
yeah, you'll be
now
expected
that everybody's
to take
buying it in, yeah, nobody expects you to carry a toilet roll.
Maybe I should contact that Who Gives a Crap company and say, look, this is I've got this idea for you. You're selling toilet paper, little single shit, single serving.
Yeah. Yeah, you can still put it in your paper shit, and you can still make it really awful toilet paper.
You can still do that, because I know that's what you love.
I love that, making toilet paper that hurts people. I know you got into
Alistair,
this Alistair,
you talk about this. You talk about this a lot. I think you might have a very sensitive butthole.
No, but
that
you know
is
what?
Not, I think you're revealing a lot about yourself.
Thank you. Thank you.
Your precious inner city anus that can't handle.
Yeah. Well, that's right.
I got one of those calloused country boy assholes.
I know, where you just like you just go out onto the gravel and you just sit there bare assed and then drag yourself like a dog across the gravel.
anyway.
No, but you know what? There was this. I heard something recently that almost convinced me. Sorry, I know we should be ending the episode. Convinced me of something, but. There was somebody talking about how he doesn't think that we can go backwards with technology or with like lifestyle. We just have to find a way to solve the problems because people won't accept it, and it will create it will create walls. So we have to find a way to push through and somehow make things better by finding solutions because people just accept them.
If cold fusion happens, that'll be what does it. If we can get that happening real quick.
Even hot fusion.
Sure, I'd take hot fusion.
I'd take hot fusion. I don't even mind. Even, you know,
any
what?
Kind of fusion.
Room temperature fusion, I would.
Oh,
also known as tepid fusion.
I think the fusionistas, I think they consider that to be pretty cold.
Oh, the fusionistas?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. What did you say?
I called that's what I said. I said the fusionistas. Great. I think it's a word I made up for the people who are really into fusion.
Oh, the fusurati. All right, Andy, let's wrap up this episode.
And we...
love. Do you think it was a good idea for us to do all the songs on every episode of this podcast?
No.
No? Oh, damn. Do you think it's embarrassing?
Yes. Yes, it is, but I think it's part of what we've got to do. It's part of the process now.
Yeah. All right. Well, now we know how you really feel.
Yeah. And we
love
you.
You. Oh, wait. I have to say one thing. We appeared on Chris Paolo's podcast.
Oh, about science communication.
Yeah, about science communication.
Do you know what it's called?
Hang on. I'm looking it up right now. It's Alistair, like right here.
I'd just like to just say that when I said it was a bad idea for us to do the songs, I really just mean it was a bad idea for me to do the songs. I think you do a great job every time and you shouldn't be embarrassed. But I should be embarrassed.
I don't think you should be embarrassed, Andy. That's the whole point, is that it's silly and it is embarrassing. But we're having fun.
That's right. And that's a shameful thing.
The podcast that we appeared on is called Applying Research. And it's the fifth episode, and we talk a little bit about us doing the pop test. But this is great if you are a scientist and you are trying to get into more science communication. Thank you very
Next
much.
Next time we might try plugging it earlier on in the
earlier
episode.
Earlier on in the episode, yeah.
After we've already said definitely go.
Okay.
Or before that. All right, and we love you. Bye.
We love you. Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.